Well, you know, children can come up with different thoughts and ideas at times, maybe different than grown-ups in life, but often I find that things that children will say are really what adults are thinking, they just won't ask or say. Here's a few short requests from children that was written to pastors. Dear Pastor, I know God loves me, but I wish he would give me an A on my report card so I could be sure. Love, Teresa, age 8. Dear Pastor, could you say a special blessing for my Aunt Beatrice? She's been looking for a husband for 12 years and still hasn't found one. Yours sincerely, Debbie, age 9. Well, I know you don't have an Aunt Beatrice, so that's not... Dear Pastor, do I have to say grace before every meal, even when I'm only having peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Wesley, age 9. Here's one of my favorites. Dear Pastor, thank you for your sermon on Sunday. I will write more when my mother explains what you said. Yours truly, Justin, age 9. Dear Pastor, please pray for all the airline pilots. I'm flying to California tomorrow. Lori, age 10. Dear Pastor, we say grace every night before we eat dinner, even when we have leftovers. Yours truly, Jackie, age 9. Food seems to be a theme, because this last one. Dear Pastor, I say my prayer before I eat my supper, but my mother still makes me finish my spinach and drink my milk. Julie, age 9. Well, this morning we're going to continue our look at the Lord's Prayer, or I think better titled Model Prayer, because it is Jesus modeling to his disciples then and his disciples today how to pray. He didn't necessarily say, pray this prayer, and actually it starts off by saying, pray like this, which is the title of our sermon series, pray in this manner. God cares for the great things in your life, but likewise, he also cares for those smaller things. You could call it those earthy things. And so today we're going to look at what I've entitled physical provisions. Physical provisions. So we pick up, we're in Matthew, the 6th chapter, looking at the Lord's Prayer. And let's start with verse 9 again. Then pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then our key verse for this day, give us this day our daily bread. Well, as I mentioned in our prayer time, I think it's maybe hard for us to really comprehend what this means for us. Give us this day our daily bread. We are such a place of abundance. Our refrigerators are usually full. The grocery store is right down the street. And I really thought about this, as I said, there in Puerto Rico. One of the things we also did, besides build the walls within this house, is we tried to interact with people in the neighborhood. And so we had different ones who went out, and we gave out about 75 prepackaged meals for the people to have. But with that also, we gave the word of life, because we also gave 25 of Spanish tracts that pointed towards salvation in Jesus Christ. The provisions, the needs of the people. What does it mean to us, though? Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus' use of this phrase, daily bread, probably to his audience on that day when he spoke these words, it probably meant more to them maybe than what it does mean to us, at least an initial thought. Because see, when they heard Jesus say, give us this day our daily bread, their minds would drift back in time. We'd go back 1,500 years to an event of bread in their history. They would go back naturally to the daily bread concerning their great leader in the past, Moses. In Exodus, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 13, we find the story. It says, "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The Lord has given you to eat. Israel wandered in the wilderness. They had just left Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea. And hunger begins to set in. God provides for them at this point. He gives them quail to eat in the evening so they can have meat. But then in the morning, there was this flaky substance that was found on the ground. The people, they begin to ask, "What is it? What is this stuff, Moses?" And we call it manna. And actually the word manna comes from that question, "What is it?" Moses explained that this flaky substance that's there on the ground was bread. Bread given to them each and every day from God. But this bread came with a list of instructions, the do's and don'ts concerning this daily bread that was being supplied. They were to go out each morning and collect the bread. But they were to only collect enough for that day. If they went out and they began the day and they collected too little, thinking that it was going to be there for them the whole day, say they just went out to collect enough for breakfast, then they wouldn't have any for the rest of the day because it went away after a while. They had to collect for the full day. But with that, they weren't to hoard it. They weren't to collect a whole lot for the next day and the next day. We're told that they collected too much. If they collected more than they needed for that one day, it would turn to worms and begin to stink. But then there's another set of instructions concerning the Sabbath day. The day before the Sabbath, they were to go out and collect 2 days' worth. Because they weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. Collect 2 days' worth, and in that case, it didn't turn into worms and stink. But the point is, God provided the people of Israel their daily bread. He didn't say, "Here's enough for a week at a time. Here's enough for a month at a time." He said, "Here's enough for today and today only." My mother had a plaque on our wall in our dining room when I was growing up, and it said on that plaque, "Unser Tag Brot." It's German. German for "our daily bread." And when I looked at that plaque, it always reminded me of my German grandmother. We called her Oma. Until the last years of Oma's life, she never had a refrigerator. And even in the last years of her life, the refrigerator she did have was one of those little small dormitory refrigerators. See, she kept things down in the cellar cool. That's where she kept things cool. But more important, she did not go out and buy what we would think of as a loaf of bread with all its preservatives to keep it soft and fresh. No, she made daily trips to the local market that was just down the street. And she would go every day to that local market and she would buy the bread she needed for that day and any other provisions for that one day. Now on Saturday, she would buy twice as much because the market would be closed on Sunday. And so she bought twice as much on Saturday. She understood unser Tag Brot, or our daily bread. When Jesus instructed his followers, "Give us this day our daily bread," what was he teaching? And what was he teaching concerning our prayer lives? Because this is all about how we pray unto the Father. This is much greater need than bread. It is a prayer concerning all our physical needs in this life. And what does this prayer of physical provision mean to you and me? Well, let me give you some thoughts this morning. First is, provision means moderation. It means moderation. We live in a world where we're constantly bombarded with the best, the newest, the greatest. We have to have that new thing. And then what happens after we own it? We find that it's not as exciting as we thought it would be. Commercials on TV, the radio, and over the internet bombard us with buying the newest and the greatest, the most improved. And then they do things like, but wait, you also can get two of these for the price of the one and free shipping. I mean, have you ever seen a commercial that says, come buy our junk? Come buy our old stuff. Come buy the stuff we don't need anymore, but maybe you want it. You don't need that new thing. You don't need that improved thing. Apple recently came out with its latest iPhone. I am always shocked and amazed how people have got to have it immediately. And they'll go out and they will spend hours upon hours upon hours in line, wasting away their life waiting for this phone that if they waited one more week, they could probably just go right up and get it. They have to be one of the first. But do we do that with our own toys in life sometime too? See, a literal rendering of this verse for us today could be, give us today the portion that is needed for any one day. Moses instructed Israel to only pick up the manna for that one day. Why? Why would God do that? Why wouldn't God say, just pick it up for a few days, and then a few days later I'll send you some more manna? Why was it that God was sending them manna each day? Because God knows our hearts. God knows our fallback position in life is greed. Television commercials pitch to the greed. The advertisers know that. They know how we can be greedy. And so they pitch to our greed. And God knows our heart even better. Oh, there were those during Moses' day that we find out who tried to grab more than their daily bread. They went out there and tried to hoard too much, and it turned into worms and started to smell. But when we live outside moderation in life, whatever it is we desire, it too can turn into proverbial worms and stink. In the book of Proverbs, verse 30, verse 8 and 9, we find this, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of our God, of my God. Living outside moderation makes us feel as if we no longer really need God anymore because we become God ourselves. And then we stop giving, we stop helping others because we need to fulfill our greed. 1 Corinthians, Paul described immature Christians as being babies. Why? Because babies are all about themselves. Life all about self. Mature Christians are to leave behind this childish me state and now live for others. Pray, give us this day our daily bread so we remember to live in moderation in this life, to give to those in need, to remember that God is the giver of all things. But there's more to this meaning of physical provision, because provision also means trust. Trust. The children of Israel trusted that manna would be out there each morning for them to go out and collect. If you look at the entire context of the Lord's Prayer, In other words, the verses before and the verses after, even in just that same chapter, you see where Matthew writes about anxiety and worry in people's lives. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." See, when we allow anxiety, when we allow worry in our lives, what happens to us? It eats at us. We become worrying and anxiety's food. It eats away at us. And instead of being nourished on the provisions of God that He has for us, we start to need worry and anxiety in our lives. We nourish on it. But the thing is, it never fills it up. There's always more to worry about. "Give us this day our daily bread" is a prayer of trust in God, though, instead of worry. It's a trust that a child has for their parents. It's a trust that our needs are going to be met by the Father. God is the great provider. And if you truly trust Him, He will provide in your time of need. Now, the illustration I'm about to give you is not one that's typical. I understand that. But it's also very true because it happened in the life of Debbie and myself many years ago. I was finishing up seminary at Southwestern and Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, 1984. I was within the last semester, and a church in Virginia Beach had called me as their youth minister. But they didn't have the funds to move us. And honestly, we didn't have the funds to move us either. Now, we didn't own a whole lot. Actually, we were using rented furniture, the furniture provided by seminary. We didn't even have furniture that were truly our own in the apartment we lived in. But we still needed to move to get there. During that time, I worked for a lawn care company that was actually owned by another seminary student. One day, our crew was finishing up the last job for the day. We had just got through cutting the grass. We were putting away the mowers and other equipment into the back of the truck. There's three of us on each crew. This street that we were on was a one-way road and fairly quiet. Actually, we remember that we didn't even hear a car going down the road during this time as we were putting away the equipment. But we looked down the street, and there's small bits of paper floating around up the street in front of us. So we go to investigate. It's ones and fives and tens and twenties floating around on the street out there. Being poor seminary students, we're pouncing on this stuff. We're rushing down there, and we're grabbing money. Soon, other cars had come down, or neighbors had come out or something, and they're all scooping up this money. As we got back into our truck and started home, one of us had collected in the $500 range, one in the $600 range, one in the $700 range. And we went back to our boss and we let him know what had happened. He called the police to report it in. And to kind of shorten the story here, we were basically told that if no one claims anything on this within 30 days, we got to keep the money. And it was real money, by the way. Well, 30 days passed, and there were no claims. The interesting thing was, it was the amount that was needed for us to go to Virginia Beach. We always saw it as God's provision. Oh, a very unusual way. But this isn't the only time in life. Not that we've seen money drop from heaven, but how God has provided, and we sit back, Debbie and I, and go like, you know, there's no way this is even possible that we could afford this. This happened, but it did. Oh, He may not drop down money from heaven, but do we trust Him with His answers? Do we have a trust with Him? When there is a true need, do we trust His answer, His provision? third. Provision means total dependency. The nation of Israel not only depended upon God for the bread, but they also depended upon the meat, the water, His protection. Give us this day our daily bread is more than just about bread. It is more than food. It is about our things. It is about our money. It's about our relationships that we need. It's about our time. It's about the totality of our life for each day. God doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. And if you and I keep Him out of a certain area, we're not looking for Him for our daily bread. It is when we have total dependency that we can see true godly abundance in our lives. In the early days of Dallas Theological Seminary, they came to a critical juncture of their existence. They needed $10,000 to keep the doors of the seminary open. They held a prayer meeting to pray over this matter. And one of their Bible teachers there, Harry Ironside, he prayed these words. He said, "Lord, You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of those cattle to help us meet this need." Oh, he was being very scriptural there about God owning the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, shortly after this prayer meeting, a check arrived in the mail for $10,000. It had been sent days before the prayer time took place. It was sent by a friend to the seminary who had no idea of the need of the seminary. He just wanted to contribute to the seminary $10,000. But here to me is the big thing on it, is the note that the man included. He said this money came from the sale of some cattle. This is Texas, after all. Oh, I think God can be a funny, funny God for us sometimes if we see His humor, His answer to our prayers. If we live in truth with Him, does your prayer life reveal a total dependency on God to find His true abundance that He desires for your life? The true abundance. Fourth thought, provision means humility. The nation of Israel had to go 40 years, knowing that they were not basically in control of their lives. Are we humble enough to be totally dependent upon God? Are we humble enough to turn it over to God? Oh, one of my favorite verses, 1 Peter 5:5. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." But then this, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Are you not finding God's grace in your life? Maybe it's because pride is in charge instead of humility. In 35 years of ministry, I've seen many people come by churches looking for help. Sadly, yes, there are those who are scam artists, right, Leroy? And some of them make it a living just going from church to church to church, and that really taints then your view sometime. But you can sometimes tell the real ones. About 6 years ago, when I was at Louisa Baptist, a young man came pouring out his heart in humility. He said, "I never thought it would come to this, a day when I would have to go to a church and ask for help." He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed on that day. And this is what he was looking for: $8 so that he could buy kerosene to heat his home. $8. This was a young man who desired to work. He wanted to work, but he couldn't find any. He'd been out of work for a while now. and he needed $8 for kerosene. He had such a humble heart. Someone you just desired to help. And you know what? We offered him other things, but he said, no, I just need the $8. Too often we don't come to God in humility. His abundant life only comes by coming to the Heavenly Father in that humble state. And you know what? God knows if your heart is humble or not. You can't fool him on the humility level. He knows whether you are humble or not before him. Because see, this also leads to the fifth point. Provision means willingness to work. God did not deliver the manna to the Israelites' tent. It wasn't that they woke up every morning and there's a large jar of manna sitting outside their tents. They had to go out each and every day, except for on the Sabbath, each and every day and collect the manna that they needed. This young man that I just described that needed $8 for kerosene, I'm happy to say, sometime afterward he got a job, and of all things he came back and he wanted to pay back the $8. Praying, give us this day our daily bread, and making no attempt to put the bread on the table is wrong. Listen to what Paul told the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 and 11. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Martin Luther once said, pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you. God does not honor laziness. Actually, when you read through the Proverbs, many, many Proverbs talk about how awful laziness is in the life of a person. Give us this day our daily bread also means, Lord, give me the strength. Provide for me the strength, Father, to go out each day to work and then to turn around and be blessed with a paycheck to pay for my daily bread. Give me the strength to do this work. That's provision, strength, and opportunity. But also provision means generosity. The Israelites would go out, gather the manna, and then come back and share with their families. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking God to give to us. But God says, I'm giving to you so you can learn. We are to grow in Christ, and part of this growing in Christ is to learn to be givers. Listen to what Jesus told the disciples right before, the verses right before he taught them how to pray this prayer. He said, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Notice something key here. Jesus' comment was not, if you give to the needy. He says, when. When you do it, when you give, he expects us to share our daily bread with others. The Father gives, so we too should give. Give us this day our daily bread. Is show me where to give of my abundance, Lord, that you give me each day. Dr. Helen Rosevere was a missionary to Zaire. She told this story. She said a mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. This has been many years ago. Just to make sure you're understanding the story, there's this pregnant woman at this mission station where this doctor Rozier is at. She's there and she goes into labor prematurely. She's prematurely has this baby and she dies. And they want to save this baby. And so they're trying to make an incubator, some way to keep this baby warm. And the only thing they would have was a hot water bottle. And for some reason, whatever way, whether it had holes in it or whatever, it was beyond repair. It wasn't usable. So then she continues the story. She says, so we asked the children to pray for the baby and her sister. So there was a daughter of this mother also there. One of the girls responded this way. She prayed, dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely. This child prays, Lord, we need a hot water bottle. We don't need it tomorrow. We need a hot water bottle today because tomorrow may be too late for this baby if we get it tomorrow. And by the way, Lord, when you send that hot water bottle, send a doll because a sister needs something because she's going to be lonely. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed that prayer so earnestly started to dig deeper in the box. And she exclaimed, if God sent that, the hot water bottle, I'm sure he sent a doll. And there it was. See, the Heavenly Father knew in advance of this child's sincere request and of the need of that day because the box had been sent 5 months earlier by a woman's missionary group in England. And within that box was a hot water bottle and a doll. 5 months before the prayer was lifted up. The big idea, prayer thought number three in this series, God provides so we can bless others. How big are your prayers of provision? Do you believe God can provide your every need? I mean, do you really believe that? And if you don't think he can, maybe your prayer this morning is, Lord, increase my faith. Was the little girl's prayer at this orphanage just a coincidence? I know that's what some will jump to. It's just a coincidence. But I don't think so because honestly, I've seen way too many coincidences in life. And it's literally too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence. God will provide. The prayers for physical provisions are beyond our wildest imagination if we trust him. And it may come in a different package or a different way than what we expect it to come. Honestly, did I expect to find money on the street to be able to afford to get to Virginia Beach for my first church? Not at all. Quite a different way. See, the problem, though, is not the Father's provision. The problem is our lack of honest and sincere praying unto God to give us this day our daily bread. And we need to learn to pray and believe. This morning, maybe the greatest need you have, the greatest provision you need is that of salvation, of coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to recognize that when he died on that cross, the wrath of God that poured out on him, the punishment poured out on Jesus was for your sin and my sin. And you don't understand quite yet how your sin keeps you from God, separated from God. But God says, I made a way. Through my son, I made a way. We can have a relationship and you can have eternal life with Jesus Christ and start living this life already today of give us this day our daily bread. Let God's abundance work within your life. Maybe this is the day to come and pray that prayer, asking God for forgiveness. I'll be up front. We can pray about that. We can talk more afterwards. Or maybe there's other areas that you're not turning over to God. You're not trusting Him for certain things within your life. And today's the challenge to finally say, Lord, I'm giving up the anxiety. I'm giving up the worry that I have been eating on and instead desire to live off of what You have for my life and turn it over to Him. Or maybe there's just another prayer concern unrelated to today that you want to come and pray about. Be open to God's call. Let's go to Him now in prayer, and then we'll sing, and listen, if you want to come and pray with me or pray by yourself or whatever, be open to God's calling. Let's go to Him now. Father, thank You. Thank You for this part of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, help us to let it hit home that this is more than just about bread that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the physical needs and existence that we have right here and how You desire, Father, to provide. Lord, help us to be open to Your call, to pray unto You and to trust You and to not let worry and anxiety to consume us, but instead help us to live in that which You desire to give us. Father, watch over us now in this time of decision making. Father's prayers are being prayed about concerns and lives. That Father, You will hear each one. That Father, they will be prayers that You will answer, just as You answered with a doll and a hot water bottle, just as You answered with money on the side of the road or keeping a seminary open that was about to close its doors. Just as, Father, You have a German woman who each day trusts to be able to go down the street to the market and find the daily bread. Lord, help us to trust You for each and everything we have. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.